Oh, we'll say a word of prayer. Then we'll jump in this lesson for tonight. Dear Yah, we come to you first of all just to acknowledge you and to just welcome your presence. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. And we just honor you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the work that the vision that you've given us to carry out. And we appreciate you for making us a part of the plan. And we just thank you for all things in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All right. I wanna deal with a subject matter, because over the years I've heard people talk about corrupt communication, and one of the things that one of the things that we've learned is that we have to allow the scriptures to interpret themselves instead of coming to our own conclusion of what certain scriptures mean. And things like that. And so we make our best, effort to do that, and people have their own interpretations of the Bible. What is it?
It's a bed.
Huh?
It's a bed. We can lay on my pillow. You know? It's like it's going to
And so, just throw the chair out here, man. Y'all too distracted. And so, you have people who come to their own conclusion of what the scriptures actually mean, and they come up with all these different interpretations and all these other books and things like that to try to determine the truth, and there's just so many things that people come up with in order to push their agenda. I have learned over the years that the only agenda that we should have is to make sure that we're on the same page with how Yah see things instead of how we think he see things. And that's where you get all these doctrines from. I get a lot of people who, at different times, for one reason or another, they will say, well, things like that. Well, this is what my Bible says, and all this kind of stuff. And I'll be like, man, if we're all led by the Spirit, it doesn't matter which variation of a Bible that's used. If we are discerning and led by the Spirit, Yah will always lead us to see the truth. And so that has to be validly understood. And so one of the things that I always do is, and I said this before, is I don't use other books in order to I don't use the Bible to confirm other books, but the Bible is the primary. And any other book that I teach from has to line up with the Bible. And, you know, and again, you may have people that may have differences of opinion as far as that is concerned. But again, when you sit down and look at the root cause of why they're saying that they're, the things that they're saying is because they are trying to push a personal agenda instead of the kingdom of our God. I just want to push the things of Yah, and from that, it has caused me to take a look at the scriptures, and even, you know, we deal with a lot of definitions and things like that because we're going back to as far back to the original meanings of the scriptures as we can. So, it doesn't matter which version of a Bible a person lay out in front of me, I'm still going to take it back to the original. I'm going to take it back to the languages that were spoken within the contextual meaning of how it was spoken and how Yah intended for us to understand it based upon how the scripture says it instead of me adding my little twist. And so that's what we want to do on tonight. We want to look at the word corrupt communication. Now, the first thing that comes to mind, and we'll go to Ephesians 4. And, you know, this is class, so we always, anybody is welcome to, you know, just say something, whether you're here or in some form of media. This is class, just make sure it's within the subject matter. And you know, you can ask any questions, you can make any comment, because it's all about coming into an understanding. That's what's important, is that we all leave out of here being on one accord with the same understanding, because it's what the scripture has laid out to us clearly. And so that's what our goal is, okay? Let's see here where I want to start here, and we'll deal with this here. Ephesians 4. We'll just start at verse 29, and if we need to go, you know, above it and below it, you know how we do it. We'll do that if it becomes necessary in order to understand what we're dealing with. Now, Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, under normal circumstances, and the reason why I said normal is because I have no better way to put it, to express it right now. But under normal circumstances, how do most people perceive corrupt communication? When most people discuss corrupt communication, what in particular comes to mind from your average Christian? Okay, just think about it. The majority of the time, when a person is talking about corrupt communication, they're talking about some kind of foul language. Some kind of cussing. You know, corrupt communication, man. You know, I can't believe that preacher said that cuss word. Because the Bible said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And so, in our mind, You know, because I like to throw us all in the same basket. It keeps me balanced. Because in our minds, we think corrupt communication is based upon what we think corrupt communication is. We think corrupt is based upon what we perceive corrupt is. So if corrupt communication is cussing in America, it may be something else somewhere else. But either way it go, every time we get to the word corrupt communication, then we want to start pointing it out. And anytime we hear a word that goes against what we think is right communicating, we call it corrupt. But what is the Bible saying to us about corrupt communication? What is corrupt communication according to Yah, not according to you? Not according to us. What is corrupt communication according to Yah? Now, there are some words that I want to really just kind of take time with this word, and we'll just look at it. We'll just look at it initially from Google. Okay, we'll just look at it originally from Google, and then we'll deal with the definition as far as the scriptures are concerned. And the reason why this is the way to do it, and why y'all led me to mention how people reference other books and things like that in order to determine what's right and wrong, is because corrupt is corrupt. Whether you look at it in the King James, whether you look at it in the NIV, whether you look at it in Google, corrupt is corrupt. And if we take time, what the scripture tells us to do, study. And if we study, which is make every effort, we'll come to the truth. That's the problem. People point out things based upon how they've been trained to believe certain ways, without actually sitting down and studying, without 2 Timothy 2:15, without actually sitting down and studying to show thyself approved, rightly divided. Remember we dealt with that. Rightly divided means dissecting. Study to show thyself approved, dissecting the word of truth, because it's true. It's just that somebody doing something with it wrong. See, if we're going to talk about the scriptures, if we're going to talk about the things of Yah, we have got to all get on the same page and understand that this is truth. And you can't take and make your truth the truth and then the other part not the truth because it don't line up with your part of the truth. Bottom line is we have to make sure that truth lines up with how Yah wants us to see it. So that's why I wanted to go to Google first and look at corrupt to make sure that we're studying to show ourselves approved rightly, or dissecting this word. And when you dissect it right, it don't matter if you're in the King James, it don't matter if you're in the New NIV Bible, it don't matter which Bible you in, corrupt is corrupt. Okay? Now, the word corrupt here, it gives a few definitions here, and I like how it gives a few definitions, because it really just shows angles of what corrupt truly is in its purest form. And when you look at it in its purest form, we see it for what it is, and we don't start trying to add to it and make it something else. If we notice, when we look at this word corrupt, It's not going to deal with foul language whatsoever. Okay? But we're going to find out what truly corrupt is. Then we're going to go to the Bible and define it. And we're going to understand what corrupt communication is. All right? Now, corrupt, the first, it gives us adjective. Having a shown willingness to act dishonest. It says in return for money or personal gain. Okay. Corrupt preacher. Corrupt banker. Yeah. So you have people who are corrupt. In other words, they are willing or are showing a willingness to be dishonest. Well, it's dealing with money, but since we're dealing with the word corrupt, let's just take money even maybe personal gain out, and deal with it as far as showing a willingness to act dishonest, because it just gives example of what that acting dishonest is in this particular definition. Okay. Well, when you look at 2 here, you know, Elder deal with computer quite a bit. It says of a the second one of a text or computer database or program made unreliable by errors and alterations. It's corrupt. You know, I've had old computers. I was like, you know, son, there's something wrong with this computer. He's like, man, it's corrupt. You had to get another one. Can't do nothing with this. Okay. Then it says verb again. It says same thing, cause or act dishonest in return for money or personal gain. Then it says it again, change your database by making errors or unintentional alterations.
Can you see that as basically being dishonest for selfish reasons?
Yes. Yes. Corrupt. Okay. Now we'll just move down. It says, "What does a corrupt person mean?" It says, "Someone who is corrupt behaves in a way that is morally wrong, especially by doing dishonest or illegal things in return for money or power." So the bottom line is letting us know that something or a person that is corrupt is corrupt is done intentionally in a dishonest way in order for whoever is doing it to have an advantage. Okay.
Got a lot of that going on.
Yes, it does. Now looking at it from Google now, when we go to the scriptures now, see this is how we study. This is how we keep from being misled and keep from being I'll stick with that. This is how we keep from being misled and be taught things that's not the truth. We study, we dissect, and we come to understanding. Now, Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt," what is corrupt? Dishonest, intentional. With the intent of personal gain, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But then it continues on because we're in the Bible now. Okay? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister. Oh, wait a minute. Now let me know something here. Corrupt communication is when me or anyone else as the communicator is misleading you for gain.
I'm trying to think of what to say. Prosperity ministry.
Yes. Give your money and God will turn around and bless you with a house. That's corrupt communication.
somebody getting that personal gain.
Yes.
At the expense of somebody else.
Yes.
And it's not edifying.
Yes. So you're over there trying to send Leroy to hell for cussing, and the preacher is the one that's deceiving you. Y'all should always trying to preach with me. Wait your turn, boy. See, when we take our time and allow the scriptures to teach us from Yah's point of view, it don't matter what book you got, truth is just truth. Well, I don't use that kind of Bible. I use another kind of Bible. It don't matter which Bible you use if you ain't studying to show yourself approved. You still not walking in the understanding that's necessary to communicate. Verse 29 again. Let no corrupt communication. You have something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So much stuff.
Go ahead. We don't have it. Just clap.
Even in the context of, like, you know, quote unquote believers. I mean, you know, like, you know, just look at the example of the history of this church where you have a pastor who tell you one thing in terms of, you know, y'all being able to get the building, and then he tell you one thing, but for his own edification, or he give you a contract, don't put that contract in the envelope that he give you,
mm-hmm.
all for his own benefit.
Yes.
And not to edify you or edify the ministry or whatever. It was for his own personal gain.
Yes, the time we did a contract with a church to move into their church on Military Parkway, and they turned around and we signed everything, and the guy went in the claimed he was going to the office next door to make copies, and he went next door. And pretend to make copy. We put a blank contract in an envelope and sealed it, and came and handed it to me because we were two pastors, been knowing each other for years, and he was corrupt communicating, but making me believe that he was operating in righteousness. So verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying. If we sit down and talk about the word, it should be designed to edify. If it's not edifying, it's corrupt communication. If it's not edifying, it is designed to cause a person to be misled. I got an old saying, I don't pull Jesus on nobody. I look for the opportunity to share it, and once that opportunity presents itself, we sit down and we come into an understanding, and we, like we're doing now, we sit here and discuss it and make our best effort to come out in agreement, because that's edifying. If I got to get around you and feel like I got to fight all the time, that's not edifying. I don't want to communicate with you when it comes to ministering of the scriptures. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. And I don't want to tell you nothing either.
That's interesting. So just over the weekend, I had a conversation and somebody was telling me that, you know, love showing them, you either doing one or two things. You either drawing people or you scattering.
Yes.
So it's almost like this. When you operate in this corrupt communication, no matter what capacity, you scattering. You ain't drawing for the kingdom. You scattering. So you either doing one. Either you operating in righteousness and you drawing people in because you edifying and you giving people what they need in order to get to their God, or you telling them stuff they don't need to hear, and all that's doing is scattering and pushing them further away from God.
Yeah. Every individual that I have sit down and actually minister to according to the scriptures, and we were both hearers that came out edified. We may not have agreed on everything, but we came out with edification because we realized that we were both trying to get to the same point, knowing the kingdom of our God. Yeah. when we open our mouth and teach the scriptures, it should be designed to minister grace to that hearer. That's what verse 29 is letting us know. Verse 30 lets us know, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If I feel like I just had a fight with you and we discussing the Bible, something is wrong with that.
I mean, if a person walk away with you and they ain't feeling uplifted, there's something wrong with that too.
Scripture lets us know what it is, the grieving of the Holy Spirit.
Can I interject something real quick?
Please.
So, and I use this analogy when I'm ministering to people so that they can understand how a person representing the kingdom should be versus what sometimes people representing the kingdom are. Right? So I use this analogy and I say that, you know, people are like fruit on a tree. If fruit is on a tree, that fruit, if you continue to give it the nutrition that it need, the rain, the sun, the water, when that fruit get ripe, it'll fall from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And if I beat that fruit off the tree because I think this fruit need to be fruit, it's time for you. If I beat that fruit off the tree, then I knock it off the tree, it'll never fully ripen, and now it's damaged because I done beat it off the tree. And so many people that represent the kingdom, instead of edifying a person to give them what they need for that fruit to mature and ripen, they beat that fruit off the tree.
See, when I was a kid, we had in our neighborhood, it was full of fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
And if you took any fruit off of a tree before it was ripe, it was bitter.
Right.
Now we understand what's wrong with a lot of church folks.
Mm-hmm. Or people in the world too. Go ahead.
I mean, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to be understood that what truly corrupt communication is. And when we look at it, in a nutshell, we should not ever get in the scriptures and grieve one another. Because the scripture letting us know that is the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God.
So let me ask you a question, because
yes.
This is just curiosity on my part. What happens when you truly want to deliver the truth of God, but a person has been conditioned based on a falsehood, and they just not receptive to what you saying with them? Like, it ain't that you have any animosity or that you're trying to be corrupt in any way. They just aren't receptive to the truth.
Well, one of the things that, and we may go there if we have time, one of the things that the scripture points out is that it's along those lines of when you correct someone once or twice, and it basically says after the second time, and they don't want to hear you, the scripture says, leave them alone, have no dealings with them. And that's one of the things that people struggle with me on, even when it comes down to, you know, my family, because, you know, I got certain family members, you know, I love all my family members, but there are some that I don't deal with, and the reason why I don't deal with is because, you know, I've made efforts a few times, and it's like casting pearl before swine. You know, and it comes, a time when you've made every effort that's necessary in order to reach that individual, and if they don't wanna accept it, then you have no choice but to.
So let me ask, in that situation, then, is the spirit grieved because that person ain't willing to make the adjustment? I mean, because. I don't want to walk away, you know, because having not done my part, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. You know, scripture says, much lie within you, live peaceably with our man, right? Mm-hmm. So I just in this context, I just want to make sure that, you know, you know, when you...
I think I see where you're going. So in this contextual meaning of the lesson, it is you grieving them.
Okay.
In other words, you sharing with them is not grieving you. It's saying your communication is what's grieving them because they're the hero.
Okay.
And now, if they're saying things that you're hearing that's grieving you, then that's when it'll apply to you. So bottom line, this text applies to the one who's communicating and the one who's hearing. The one who's hearing, it grieves the Holy Spirit when I'm communicating.
Not necessarily. It's not the same context of them not receiving the non-corrupt communication that
right.
I'm doing. It's
right.
the grieving spirit when I'm the one delivering the correct
right.
message. Basically.
Right. Right, right. And so verse 30 says, and grieve, go ahead.
So just in that same vein, just to clear the thought, right? So two people are conversing.
Mm-hmm.
One person is operating in righteousness, i.e. non-corrupt, and the other person is coming back with corrupt communication mm-hmm. in there. Just gets the spirit is grieved
that
based
can be
on what
grieved.
The other person is
yeah,
doing.
That can be grieved.
You.
Yeah. Now, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it lets us know what these corrupt communications are. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. Wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking.
What's clamor?
Oh, let's deal with it. Outcry, grief. You got evil speaking, blasphemy. See, so you get people that say corrupt communication, evil speaking, cussing. He cussing. That's evil speaking. No, evil speaking is when you got to stay within the contextual meaning. Now, evil speaking is when I'm teaching you against Yah. See it. Evil speaking says against Yah, against God.
It says vilification too.
Yes.
Okay.
But the vilification goes up to the source.
Yeah, got.
Okay. Evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Okay. With all malice, all badness, naughtiness, wickedness. And be ye kind one to another. It is the opposite of verse 31. All these other things that it's saying there. Be ye kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as Yah, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So now we're saying what the Bible calls evil speaking and corrupt communication and bitterness and wrath and these different things. Because the scripture also tells us, be ye angry but sin not. It ain't nothing wrong with me getting angry. But what actions do I take is what can be the problem. That's why the scripture said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. When things going on, talk about it. Fix it. All right. We look at a few other definitions to confirm it. You had mentioned the fruit, and so we'll deal with that. Matthew 7. We'll just look at some scriptures now to confirm it as we. Confirm corrupt and just kind of uncover the layers of it even further now. For the sake of time, we'll start at verse 15. beware of false prophets. What did we find out about false prophets? They're your fallen angels.
Corrupt communication.
Because you get religion, they'll tell you, you know, angels invaded heaven and all that. You can't find that nowhere in the Bible. That's in the minds of men. That's a myth. Think about it. You got the creator of all things. You got something he created, able to go up and invade, and he not be aware of it ahead of time. How stupid are we? That's a myth. And so we got to understand on last week that the false prophet and false teachers were classified as angels who were reserved in chain of darkness. Chain wasn't the actual chains. The darkness was the bondage. It says chain of darkness. It don't say chain as far as the angels are down in hell, bound up in chains, waiting to be released.
Say chains in darkness.
Yes, chains in darkness. Yes. Chains of darkness. Darkness is the bondage. That's why the scripture says you be cast into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now when we look at verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets, fallen angels, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. What is corrupt? They're deceivers. They are misleading on purpose. They look like a sheep, but inwardly they're a wolf. But the scripture points it out, so you should know them by their fruit. Listen to what comes out of the mouth. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If I'm a corrupt preacher, then I'm gonna teach you things to mislead you for my benefit. If I am a false teacher, if I am a corrupt communicator, then every time I come to you to minister, I am doing so because I'm trying to take advantage of you for my own personal gain. See, our goal is to teach truth. We don't matter to us what church you go to. If my goal is to teach you, to get you to join United Ministries specifically, I am corrupt communication, because my goal for teaching you is because I'm trying to get gain. I'm trying to grow my membership. That's corrupt. If we're all the children of Yah, we should all be making the efforts to build the kingdom of our God, not our church. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth, verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That's why the elder mentioned about how you take a fruit off of a tree before it's ripe. That thing ain't worth eating. And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ right now. We ain't worth much because we're all being, for lack of a better way to put it, we all have gotten so corrupt with our communication that we've been taken off the tree before the time. And every time something come out of our mouth, it's bitter. Let nobody want to hear what we got to say. You're going to hell. Well, I'll see you there. Corrupt communicator. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We know the rest of it. I don't have to read it. Matthew 12. Just looking at other scriptures to confirm what we've done with. Go ahead.
So basically, whatever our communication is going to produce a fruit thereof.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's why I wasn't too quick to do this, boy. When people tell me, man, you call the preacher. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be responsible for people.
I said the same thing.
When y'all told me, call me the pastor, my main word was, Lord, I don't want to leave nobody wrong. That was my primary concern. Matthew 12, verse 30. Say, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Remember when you mentioned that?
Gathering or you scattering? You doing one of the
two. And we all know how we communicate based upon the willingness of people to listen to what we have to say when we look at the overall picture of things. As Ella mentioned, there are some people you're gonna share it with, they're not gonna want to hear. But when you look at it, do the majority of the people see you coming and run away from you? You'll corrupt communicate if that's the case. You're going to find some that's not going to want to hear what you said. But if nobody want to hear what you say, it's because you are a corrupt communicator.
And then the thing about it is, for the most part, even if they ain't agreeing with what you're saying, they'll still hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
They may not agree with you, but it ain't like they see you and they run.
Yes. There were some people back in the day when I was out there doing my thing, And that preacher would ask me, do you want to be saved? I go, no, sir, I do not. But I don't want to go to hell either. I used to tell them that. I would listen, but I just wasn't ready to make that decision. Then there were some who would come to me, you ain't saved. You on your way to hell. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going. Don't worry about it. I don't hear nothing you got to say. I'd rather go than to hear what you got to say. We have to learn to become better communicators for the kingdom of our God. Verse 30, go ahead.
What I'm going to say, but I guess that boil can come back down to the heart issue, or what we talked about a few services ago, where we talked about, the anointing of God. Like when you be saying, okay, a person that's anointed, you can teach them to do anything. But if you ain't anointed to do it, ain't anybody teach you. But it's almost like all those things boil down to a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like if your heart is right, then you're going to have some non-corrupt communication.
Yes.
If your heart ain't right, then what you communicate is going to be corrupt communication.
Yes. I know a lot of people who tell folks stuff that's right and be just as wrong because of how they said it. Verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word, we'll find out what the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Heart is his mind now. And the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. How do we know what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is? We have to go up. And we look at what's taking place here. I'm trying to see. I start at verse 22. Then was brought up unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebul, the prince of devils. And Yahushua knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebul cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of Yah, then the kingdom of Yah is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is when something is clearly identified as a manifestation of the Spirit of God, but people call it Satan, the works of Satan. And so you have people.
What does the scripture say? Say thou fool, you're in danger of hellfire. From the context of making that declaration, could be calling that Spirit of God is doing foolish.
Yes.
And put you in this situation.
Yes. And you have people who may do things out of ignorance. Stay within the contextual meaning now. You have people who may do things out of ignorance. That's not what that's referring to. But you have someone, because remember, we're dealing with corrupt communication. So you have someone who is intentionally trying to mislead people by making them not believe that something is a manifestation of the presence of Yah that actually is. They are working against the works of the Spirit. That's how you know. That's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
You can say something wasn't of Yah in ignorance. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about when that individual is, because when you look at those Pharisees and Sadducees, the whole time they were trying to mislead the people to keep them stuck in the law. okay? The oral writings and things like that. They were trying to keep a hold on our nation, and so they were doing things and constantly fighting against the manifestation of the Spirit of Yah in order to keep themselves in a position for their personal gain.
So in yes. order to be at this state, then you have to have known God.
Yes.
And then make that declaration.
Yes. Yes. Some people don't even qualify. So they're ignorant about the fact anyhow. I'll just use myself for an example. If I turn around and start saying everything that I've taught you about the word and the scriptures and all that's not true, I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost. There ain't no help for me. Because I have had encounters and experiences to know without a doubt that God, His Son, and His Spirit are real. And if I turn around now and start preaching against that, I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So I'm not talking about this traditional stuff where you get folks call out the call. You got a whole line of folks. You got the preacher going down through there, laying hand, pushing people down, and everybody hitting the floor, rolling it over and spinning. We talking about the Spirit moving. No, a lot of times that preacher is pushing folks down, and folks are cooperating. I done been knocked down by the Spirit, and when I got up, I wasn't the same no more. I seen them fall like a devil and get up like one too. Because didn't nothing change. Okay. Last one, Luke. Chapter 6, this is the last one. Luke 6, we'll start at verse 43. Just scriptures really confirming the same thing that we've been discussing about the fruit and trees. Luke 6, 43 says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." You know what's in me. When I communicate with you about the things of the scriptures, you know what's in me. I can't pretend. Because what's in me gonna come out. I just saw a flash of this, so I'm gonna have to say it. Y'all show me stuff, I just have to say it. Have y'all heard about what Pastor Jamal Bryant, I think it's Jamal Bryant, he's the pastor of Eddie Long's former church, you know, Eddie Long, y'all rest his soul, he's deceased, New Birth, he's a pastor of New Birth. This guy was on here talking about, because apparently New Birth got a lot of land. And this guy is on here talking about going into the marijuana business, planting marijuana on all that land in order to draw people to the church. And the first, time I I heard it, you know, it was sent to me by a good friend of mine's lady. She sent it to me, and I was like, when I saw it, I texted her back. I was like, man, he crazy. And she was like, but her response was like, well, it's an idea. Yes, yeah, idea, but what's in him came out. Of all the things you can plant, you know, I like what this old Church of God in Christ preacher said. He said, you could plant some greens, you can plant some corn. It's a whole bunch of stuff you could plant on that land, you know, to generate resources and all that into the church and maybe draw people to the church through business and stuff like that. And you come up with some marijuana? Whatever is in that tree gonna bear, whatever type of tree it is gonna bear the fruit. Verse 44 manifested in that man's life, and you know, and just keep him lifted up in prayer, because I'm like, what is on in his mind? Verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather fig, nor of bramble bush gather thy grape. You want marijuana planted out there because there's something going on with you with it. It is what it is. Why? Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, his mind, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mental state, the mind, the mouth speaking. He just told everybody what's going on in his head. I like money so much to the point where I'm willing to do anything to get it. So since they're making it legal to grow it, now I'm just going to grow it. I've never in my life smoked marijuana before, but I smelled it plenty of time as a kid, and I smelled it plenty of time as an adult. Folks passing through, it is not the same. They have made that stuff legal because it's just another process that they use to get us up out of here. For any sucker who want to take it and fry their brain with it. Well, no, God made it. That's, you know, they got medicinal marijuana. There ain't nothing medicinal about no marijuana when you smoke it. It's a plant. Go to Genesis to find out what you do with herbs. You eat it. You don't smoke it. Marijuana is only beneficial when you eat it like an herb. When you start smoking it, it's going to fry something. It's doing some stuff it ain't supposed to be doing. So now we should understand what corrupt communication is based upon these scriptures. And now you can realize that, you know, if you run across the old preaching, he may say a cuss word here and there. That's not corrupt communication. Stay within the contextual meaning of the scriptures. Cussing is American slang that came out in the 1800s. But most people don't study the origin of things in order to know that. They has come to a conclusion, you going to hell for saying blankety blank. But you going around calling folks fools all day long. Scripture clearly says you're in danger of hellfire when you do that. We got it so mixed up. All right, I'm done. Any questions, comments? We good? All right, we'll stop here. Father, y'all, we just bless you for teaching us what corrupt communication truly is based upon your word. And we just thank you that you has given us your spirit to be able to look at things and see things how you want them to be seen and understood. Continue to help us to do so, that we may glorify you and your kingdom. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.